This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You alone, my redemption. For all that He has done for us, let His kingdom come, let His will be done, let His praise be sung, Christ the Lord.
Up to you, I will dance before you. I will shout. darkest day in history. There on a cross they made for sinners. For every curse his blood atoned. Our final breath and it was finished. But not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake, and the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens roared. All hail King Jesus. A moment that the sky lit up, a flash of light breaking through. When all was lost across eternity, the King of Life was on the move. For in a dark old tomb, where our Lord
just start to raise up your voices. Just sing a song to God that's in your heart. Just start to raise your voice in this place. If you want to sing, just sing. If you want to shout, just shout. If you want to dance, just
the Son of Man laid down his majesty and bore the fullness of our shame. In the cross of Christ, he paid our debt, he bought our freedom. In the cross of Christ, joy is to know him. We will not boast, we will not glory, saved in the cross of God. Before the down his majesty and bore the fullness of our shame. In the cross of Christ, he paid our debt, he bought our freedom. In the cross of Christ, cross of Christ. He paid our debt, He bought our freedom in the cross of Christ. We count all as loss, our joy is to know Him. We will not boast, we will not glory, save in the cross of Christ.
Yes, Lord, it's through the cross of Christ that we can come to You this afternoon. That's the reason why we're here, Father. Through the cross of Christ, we can come to You. We can call You our Father. We've got a meeting with You. We've got an encounter with You, Father. We want to hear what is on Your heart, what You want to share with us this afternoon, Father. And yes, we know that the enemy is trying to distract us. The enemy is trying to keep our ears closed, that we do not hear what You want to share with us. But Father, You've given us the authority as well in the name of Jesus Christ, that we can bind the powers of the enemy, that we say, You're not going to stop. Your words from the Lord. In any spirit of religion, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. You're not going to interfere this afternoon. We're going to hear what God wants to share with us this afternoon. Our ears are open. We want to hear what is on Your heart, Father. Our Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we were worshiping, I felt that the Lord is speaking to one person over here. So if you got, during worship, a picture or a word that the Holy Spirit shared with you, which you've got to share with us, the congregation, then I'm asking you to come, to be obedient, what the Holy Spirit is dropping into your heart. So if there's something which came up, if a picture came up, if a certain verse came up, if something came up during worship, please do not hesitate, because the Lord has given it to you that you can share it with us, that we can be built up by that.
Hello. I see a lot of new faces, so that is cool. But I felt very strongly during the worship that there are people here that, like, they sing the words, but they actually never really experience God to be personal. And they believe in God, they believe in Jesus, they believe that He died and that He rose again, but they've never actually felt that God really loved them as a person, for who you are, right where you are, right now, right here. And that today is a day for change, to actually be able to receive His love for you, to be able to open up your heart to, you know, to come into that relationship where God wants you to be in with Him. So, you know, I really felt strongly that that is for today, and today is going to be a new day.
Amen. Thanks, Caroline. I'm going to start a little bit on the heavy side. Now, unfortunately, these chairs don't have seat belts, because otherwise I would have said, please fasten your seat belt. Because I want to start with a statement, which is so crucial. God wants to use the church as His vessel to do God's work on earth. And if we do not believe that, then we're just a social club gathering over here. Then we're just having some coffee and tea and some nice cake as well. Hopefully I bought the right ones yesterday. God wants to use the church. For God who created heaven and earth, it's nothing to just change everything what He wants to change. But He's not doing it. He wants to work through us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to be in a relationship with us. And we are in a process. As a church, we are in a process, and each and every person is in a process. as we are gathering on a Sunday, it's part of the process, but a small group is also part of the process. The encounters where I just now spoke about is also part of a process. It's not a matter of that once we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can sit down and we can say, okay, now I'm waiting for Jesus' second coming. No. It's a process. We're continuously busy because God wants to use us. He wants to use us as his vessel for God's work on earth. He wants to work through us. But there are things which are holding us back, things which are stopping us, that we cannot do what God wants us to do. I wrote down a few of them. I could have written down 20. I could have written down 100 maybe. But I thought, okay, these four, I feel the Lord is giving it to me and I've got to share those four with you. First one is the relationship with God has got a blockage, a hindrance, because our relationship with our family or with our friends or with our colleagues around us are taking so much time and we don't have time to spend on a relationship with God. And it's also sometimes that those relationships are holding us back because the way that those people are speaking with us is not good and it's not nice. You nearly feel like a toilet, that they're flushing continuously over you, the way that they speak about you, the way that they talk about you. And that is also the next point. We sometimes become too dependent what people say about us. We always want to hear, is it positive what they say about us? Is it building me up? What are they going to say about that? How many reactions am I getting on my Facebook post? How many likes am I getting over there? That's not what it is about. The third thing is that we're not hearing God's voice. We're not hearing the Holy Spirit speaking to us. We're not hearing that silent voice speaking to us and telling us what his plan is, how he wants to use us for his work on this earth. And maybe we've heard God's voice. Maybe there's one this afternoon over here who says, yes, I heard God's voice. At a certain time he told me to do that. But I didn't do it. I stayed away from it because I thought, no, that's far too difficult, far too complicated for me. That he must give to a Paul and a Peter and a Matthew and those people. They can do it. I can't do it. And if we take those four points and if we summarize it, then the blockage, the hindrance for us, for being the vessel, what God wants us to be, it's us, it's me. I'm the hindrance. I'm the blockage. Because I'm focusing on me and I'm not focusing on God. But I've good news over here for you this afternoon. Don't feel alone. It happened in the beginning with Adam and Eve. There's so many stories in between history up to now, which is repeating himself again. That we are battling in our relationship with God to really be what he wants us to be. The verse which the Lord gave to me where I've got to preach about and where I've got to speak about is, it's written in the Bible, in my Bible, it says the Tower of Babel. But actually it's never written. They're talking about building a tower in Babel, but they never talked about the Tower of Babel. But anyway. And the background is that Noah, with his boat, what he built, and most probably the people around him said, you're mad. How can you build a boat? We've never seen any rain. Because up till then, it never rained. It was only a very high humidity. That's what we've got at the moment as well. But it never rained. And then he got instructions from God, go and build a boat. He must probably also thought, God, are you serious? I must build a boat. And nowadays, and there are some engineers over here, they must probably will say, okay, then you've got a whole project plan worked out with all different phases and the one and this and how much material is needed and all those type of things. No, I didn't have it. He just started. He was just obedient. And I think he must have been speaking many times to God and say, God, this piece of wood, where does it fit in? Must I use this one there? And when must I start with the roof and so on? I think he must have been communicating quite often with God. How must he build the boat? And then he came off the boat with three sons, and then with his wife, and then the wives of the three sons as well. The first one was Shem. And Shem afterwards, we can see traces of his descendants going into Arabia, the Middle East Valley, including the Jewish people. They are coming from the Shem family. Ham, he went more to the southern Arabia, to southern Egypt, north coast of Africa, but also Canaan, which was the promised land of where the Israelites were going to. And then Japhet, who went more into Europe and into Asia. So from there, from where the Ark of Noah was, they went to different directions. But something happened before. And that's where we're going to read about this afternoon. And that is, if you've got a Bible with you, you can open it up. It is in Genesis 11, and I'm going to spend time in Genesis 11 from 1 till 9. And it says, the Tower of Babel. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. No, it wasn't English. The whole world had one language and one speech. So which means that they were clearly understanding each other. There was no confusion. There wasn't any confusion with words. So the words were exactly the same, and also the way that they pronounced the words were exactly the same. Yes, I've got a dialect for different reasons, so I'm not always maybe pronouncing the words correctly. So, but they were all together, the whole earth at that time, had one language and had one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Sinar, and they dwelt there. So we can nearly say the Noah clan gathered together over there. It must have been approximately 100 years after they left the ark over there. So they were still staying together. One big clan with Noah. If he was still there, I didn't actually look it up. But they got together. They stayed together. But it was not according to what God told them to do. Because if we go back to Genesis 9 verses 1, and maybe you can just show me the picture. There you can see Mount Ararat, where the Noah, the ark was on, according to the Bible. And then they most probably came down and they went into that area, the land of Shinar. It says over here, they journeyed from the east, but some translations also say they went eastwards. Whatever it is, we've got a beginning and an end point. That we're quite sure about. How they got there, it doesn't matter. But they were disobedient because they didn't do what God told them to do. God told them in Genesis 9, verses 1, So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. So they had to go to all the earth, what we just now read, or what I just now mentioned, where they went everywhere. They had to go there. But they didn't go. The clan stayed together. They were very nice. They enjoyed it. They stayed together. And in Genesis 9, verses 1, a little bit later, we can see that God is making a covenant with Noah, a covenant which is still applicable for us today. We all know about the rainbow, which is a symbol of that covenant which God made with Noah. And after this story about the Tower of Babel, then we get another covenant, what God is making with Abraham. God is serious that he wants to walk with his people continuously and he wants to guide them. So in Genesis 9, God is telling them, you've got to fill the earth. In 11, we just now read that they stay together. If we go to 10, Genesis 10, then we see all the descendants of all the sons and all the, and where they went and all those type of things. So if you read that, then we think, okay, they were quite obedient. But actually that part from 11 has got to be put between 9 and 10. And then we will more or less understand it, what actually happened. They were not obedient. They didn't fill the earth. They stayed together. And if people are staying together, they've got plans. And they make plans. And he made a plan. Genesis 11, 3 to 4. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And if we go to the word bake, it's the same word which is used for cremation as well. So it's really high temperatures. So they baked bricks already at that time. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. It was a certain type of lime. They used it to build the bricks, and then with time it would harden and it would be able then to build a structure. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose top is in heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we will be scattered around abroad over the face of the whole earth. In verse 4, we basically have got four elements over there. Let's build ourselves a city. Let's build ourselves a tower whose point is going into heaven. And let's make our names for ourselves. If we're not doing it, we're going to be scattered all over the world. So they said, come, let us build us a city ourselves. If we are in a city, we're not going to be scattered all around. Let us build a tower for ourselves, which is going into the heavens, that we can make name for ourselves. They wanted to be as important as what God was. They wanted to have that point of that tower in heaven, that they could lift themselves with human power to the level of God. This is what they planned to do over there. So yes, there was a reason what God said, fill the earth. Because he knew beforehand that if people are together, they make plans. We males know that if we are together, we make plans. And we've got a lot of fun. And we make plans and we can even be, I should say, some naughty as well. But these people over here, the Noah clan, they made plans and they wanted to build a city. And in these four things what we can see two sins what they were doing over there. The first is that they wanted to have praise for themselves. They wanted to have name for themselves. They built a tower into heaven. They would be important. That was the one thing. And the other was they didn't trust God. They didn't have that security of what God was giving them. They wanted to build their own city. They wanted to build their own security. They didn't put trust in God. They wanted to work on what they thought they could make themselves with human hands. So those people were sinning over there. They most probably heard the stories from Noah and from the three sons of what has happened in the ark. What has happened with all the animals which went in and came out. What happened with Noah who built the ark. They've heard those stories. But it was still not important enough. They still were disobedient. We've seen it, like I said, so many times in the Bible. We've seen it with Adam and Eve as well. They walked along with God and they still sinned. They did what the enemy wanted them to do. But if we are making a sin, or if we're committing a sin, God has got a plan. He always has got a plan. We've got an awesome God what we are serving. Verse 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of man had made. It says over here, the sons of man. It was not his children or anything like that, or it wasn't referring to the descendants of Noah, but he's talking about the sons of man. And the Lord said, indeed the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. And then the Lord speaks again, come, let us go down. So which means that the tower wasn't high enough. God still had to come down. structure wasn't high enough. How high actually the structure was, we can't read it. We don't know exactly what's happening. Maybe the structure was very dangerous, that God thought, okay, wait a moment, I've got to get that down now, I've got to sort it out, otherwise they're going to have a big problem, that all the people are going to fall under the rubble. We don't know. Anyway, verse 7, come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over all the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. And therefore the name is called Babel, because there is the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. The Lord is confusing them. Now I know that if I had to stay in a house with a Chinese person and I was speaking English, the Chinese person was speaking Chinese, it would have been very difficult to communicate. And we most probably, through some hand signs, we will work it out, or the Chinese person is going to speak English, or I'm going to speak some Chinese words, or we fabricate a third language where both of us are understanding each other. But it can be very confusing, and you cannot cooperate. So that confusing what God is creating over there, the confusing the language, was enough reason that they couldn't work together anymore. That whole process where they were busy with was stopped, was cancelled. I won't say any funds available anymore. I don't know how we can say it. But the reason what they actually had, they sinned because they wanted to do something for themselves. They were focusing on themselves. God stopped that. And God made a plan. And God went back again to that plan, what he said in the beginning in Genesis 9 verses 1. Fill the earth. And he scattered them all over the earth. And they ceased building the city. Now Babel, you can pronounce it in English or in the American way, but it doesn't matter. Confusion. That's what the word means. So Babel, Babylon, Babylonia, it all means it comes from the same, it's the same word, confusion. God created confusion over there. He confused the people. They couldn't speak to each other anymore. Now there are some quite different nations over here today. We've got quite a diversity. That's also what the title is, Strength in Diversity. And I can imagine if each and every one is going to speak our own language, and if you do not understand the other person's language, it's going to be a little bit of a confusion over here. If the person is asking you, do you want to have coffee or tea, and you reply in your own language, and the other one doesn't know if it is cake or sugar or milk, then we're going to get confusion over here. And that happened over there. God created confusion because God has got a plan. So God used that sin, what the people was doing, and he actually turned it around into something which was suiting his plan, which was fitting his plan. And there are 5 points what I quickly wanted to talk about. The first thing of those five is that God guarded the Christians. Now we know that if all the people on the whole earth would speak the same language, and we would be exactly homogene, we would be exactly the same, then it's very easy for a person which is very high up to cancel a certain thing, like for instance Christianity. The person in such a structure, high up, could say, okay, Christianity is not allowed anymore, and Christianity wouldn't be allowed anymore, then it would be stopped. But it's so diverse that it is not possible anymore. By that, God is actually protecting, that the Christians are protected, that we are guarded. We still have got the Illuminati who try to build a type of a structure at the top that they can arrange, and that they can do whatever they want to do. And that's actually what God did with that confusion, making different languages and different tribes and tongues and cultures and all those type of things. He's actually making it difficult for one type of government to control everything. The next one of God's plan is that God is destroying pride. Because over here at Babel as well, we can see it's pride. They wanted to make name. They wanted to be well known. They wanted to have attention. They wanted to have that the people were focusing on them, that they could be seen as we've built a tower into heaven. But God cancelled it over there. Because that Babel, that Babylon, is a reflection of pride. And God doesn't like pride. And he handles it. If we go to the last book of the Bible, Revelations, then in Revelations 18, we can see how Babylon, how pride has been handled and how it has been sorted out. And in verse 21 in Revelations 18, it also speaks about it. Then it sound, then shall not found be anymore. The whole verse is like this. Then a mighty angel took a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall be found no more. There's no place for pride. The reason why the enemy, why the devil has been kicked out of heaven was pride. Babylon is pride. Babylon is equal to pride. And over here in Revelations we can see it's going to be stopped because pride is not going along into heaven. In heaven there's no pride. The third is every group is claimed. What God is doing over there is that we've got different languages, that we've got different tribes, that we've got different nations, is that every group is claimed. Matthew 28, 8 to 19a. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So it's not only certain nations which are included, or that we start with the tall ones and then we go to the short ones, or first the white ones, then we go to the dark ones. No, all nations have got to be included. We've got to go to all nations. And that's what we do here in Utrecht as well. We claim all nations. It's not that we're focusing on certain people, but we're focusing on all the people in Utrecht. Based on Matthew 28, go and bring the message to all the people. Sometimes it's easier to make connection with a certain type of person, because we speak the same language or we've got the same background. But there are others who can reach other people where we can make no contact with. Like for instance, the one at your work or the one at your university. So every group is claimed to be part into God's kingdom. The fourth one is the gospel is glorified. Romans 1, verses 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, but also for the Greek. And Paul is writing over there, he's not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is for everyone. It's for the Greek, it's for the Jew, it's for everyone available. Every language and every people can be included in that. And then the last one is Jesus is praised. But Jesus is praised in all languages. It's not going to be only certain languages which are going to praise Jesus, but all languages are going to be used. And then we go back again to Revelations. Revelations 5, 9 to 10. And they sang a new song, saying, you're worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. If the confusion in Babel wouldn't have happened, they couldn't have written down over here tribe and tongue and people and nation, because we would have been still the same group. We would still have been the same. And that's so beautiful again, how God is doing, how God is working. Where the enemy is trying to steal, God has got a plan. And then when we see it, how he's working that plan. Because it's beautiful that every tribe and tongue and people and nations are going to sing and are going to worship the living God. Revelation 7 even carrying on with that. After these things, I looked up and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people and tongue, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robe, with palm branches in their hand, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." But those people came together in that plain of Shinar. It's reason for God to start it, to confuse the people over there, and to send them all over the world. They were not prepared to listen. They were disobedient. They wanted to do what was good and what they thought was good for them. I want to conclude. Marco plays guitar and he sings. And when the talent was handed out, he must probably stood there for half an hour because the Lord really blessed him there. If we've got one Marco playing guitar and singing, it sounds good, but it's not full, if I can put it that way. We can put 25 Marcos over there, but we still more or less remain with the same. It becomes interesting if Yolandi is going to join. Because Yolandi stood next to Marco when the talents were handed out. When she starts playing keyboard and when she starts singing, and suddenly tune changes. But if we've got 25 Marcos, we've got 25 Yolandis playing, it's still not what it can be. It only becomes the more diverse it is. We get somebody on the cajon. We get somebody who's helping with vocals, with the drums. And steadily you fill up. And steadily you get more and more people. And then it really becomes a band. Not to say that they are not good musicians, but the strength is in diversity. And this is what God's giving us. The strength from Shofar Utrecht is in our diversity. Because we can reach people who other people cannot reach. We can make contact with people who other people cannot make contact to. And that's for me so awesome that God made this church. It's his church. It's not mine. It's not Renee's. It's not Shofar's church. It's God's church. That we can be diverse. And that our strength, that there's strength in that diversity. God is confusing the people so that they're not focusing on themselves anymore, but that they're going to start focus on God. The enemy, who cannot do anything else than copy-paste what God already has done, he's confusing the people that they're going to focus on themselves and that they're not going to focus on God. And that's where I started with in the beginning. God wants to use us as a vessel. But if we are focusing on ourselves, and if we are focusing of how good we are, and we've got to make name for ourselves, like that Noah clang, then we're missing God. Then we're not hearing what God is telling us. Then we're not doing what God is telling us. Strength is in diversity. It's not that diversity is our only strength, no. Diversity is a strength, what we've got. And we can use that diversity, we can use that strength for building God's kingdom over here in Utrecht, making contact with those people. Please stand. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can hear again this afternoon that you're not a passive God, but that you're continuously involved from the beginning to the end. If it is Genesis or if it's Revelation, you're involved. And each and every time we can see your plan, Father, your plan, which is a red line going through the whole Bible, how you want to be involved with us. And if we mess up, if we sin, you've got a plan. And that's so awesome. And you've got a plan for us, Father, because you love us. You love your creation. And I'm going to ask a straightforward question now. If you're here this afternoon, and if you say, but I've never accepted God as my creator. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my savior. I've never accepted the Holy Spirit as my helper. But I feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring my heart this afternoon, that something has got to change. It's what Caroline said as well, that you've got to accept that love from God. Then today is the day when you've got to make that decision. And I'm asking you to raise your hand. If you've never made that decision, and the Holy Spirit is stirring you, and you've got to make that decision this afternoon, that you've got to start that walk with God, that you've got to start that process with God, that you've got to start walking with Him, the Creator of heaven and earth, who wants to be your Father, who's standing there with arms wide open and says, my son, my daughter, come. If you've never made that decision, then this afternoon, it's time for it. It's never too late. Tomorrow could be too late. If you've never made that decision and you want to make it now, please raise your hand. I also feel that the Lord wants to speak to those people to whom He's been speaking before. He gave you instructions to do a certain thing, nearly the same as what the clang of Noah heard from God as well, where He said, fill the earth. But they stayed together. They were disobedient. They didn't do what God wanted them to do. And if you're here this afternoon, if you say, yes, I know, it happened in my life as well. God spoke to me, but I was disobedient. I didn't do what God wanted me to do. And it's something that I know what I've got to sort out between me and God. Do not wait. Please come forward that we can pray in agreement along with you. That you can sort it out, that it's not a blockage anymore, that you can be used as a vessel for God's work on this earth. If it is you what I'm talking about, do not wait. Please come forward that you can sort it out between you and God. And then the last one is, if you're finding it difficult to hear God's voice, if you're finding it difficult to hear the Holy Spirit speaking, that small voice which is telling you, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. That small voice is not going to speak to you when you're on the phone or when you're watching TV. But that small voice is going to speak to you when you're in your inner room, when you're intimate with God, and then the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And if you hear this afternoon, you say, but I've got difficulties to hear God's voice, but I want to make that commitment this afternoon that I'm going to seek Him, that I want to hear His voice, because I want to be obedient to His voice. I want to do what He wants me to do. And I'm inviting you to come forward that we can pray along with you. We're still going to sing a few songs. And if you feel that you would like to react on any of those, what I just now mentioned, please feel free to come forward. Don't go home and say, okay, I'm thinking to praying about it over there. This is the time that God wants to speak to you. Don't wait with it. Come, that we can pray along with you in agreement. If there's any other prayer what you need, even if it's for healing, anything, do not go home. Come forward that we can pray along with you. And as you go this week, spend time with God and ask God, how do you want to use me in your vessel? How do you want to use me for building your kingdom? And yes, there are visitors over here who are going back to different parts of the world, maybe. It doesn't matter where you are. God has got a plan. He always has got a plan. And yes, we can maybe mess it up, but then He will make a plan again. But we cannot know about that plan if we do not communicate with God, if we do not spend time with God. Father, I speak your blessing over each and every person present here this afternoon. And Father, I pray that when they're going to spend time with you, that you're going to speak into their hearts how you want to use them and what you want to do want them to do. And maybe it's a small thing what they first have got to do, just to give some money to somebody or a bread or pray for somebody. It doesn't matter. But that the whole process can start of that relationship with you, Father, and be obedient to your voice continuously. That we can be used for building your kingdom over here. If it is in Utrecht or in other places, that your kingdom can come as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen.
continue to sing a song or two. If you need to leave, you're welcome too. Thank you for joining us today. May you be blessed in this week to come. Also, if you feel like staying, you're so welcome. I have some coffee and tea. And if you still feel like coming forward for prayer, please do. During the worship, that's also fine. Amen. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.